For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is May the 12th. This is a community-wide Yisodi HaTorah Shir, and the title is Shlosh Esimei Hagbala, the 3 days of fencing off Har Sinai. This is also the first day of Shlosh Esimei Hagbala. Today is the first day of the Shlosh Esimei Hagbala, of the 3 days of fencing off Har Sinai that happened when we got the Torah, and therefore it is very appropriate for us to have a Shir this morning about the Shlosh Esimei Hagbala, something which is somewhat confusing about what happened when in the first 6 days of Sivan in the year that we got the Torah. You have a worksheet in front of you, which I assume that most everyone has not completely filled out. You will have the opportunity to fill out now during our shir and to correct any mistakes and to hopefully clear up any confusions. The psukim, the verses that discuss the giving of the Torah, are in two places, as you have in your source material there. They are in Parshas Yisro, in Perek Yotzeh, chapter 19, and also in Parshas Mishpatim, in Perek Chaf Hei, in chapter 25. Did I get that right? No, chapter 24. Chaf Dalet, chapter 24. It is very, very confusing to figure out what happened on which day. We know that the Torah was given either on the 6th or on the 7th of Sivan. That is a machlokas, that's a difference of opinion in the Gemara. Rav Yossi says that the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan. The Chachamim, the sages, say that the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. Everybody agrees the Torah was given on Shabbos. The question the Gemara discusses is whether the first day of Sivan that year was on Sunday or on Monday. If the first day of Sivan was on Sunday, then Shabbos was the 7th of Sivan. If the first day of Sivan was on Monday, then Shabbos was the 6th of Sivan. And that is a machlokas, that's a discussion in the Gemara in Shabbos. But what happened on each of the days leading up to Har Sinai, including when the Shlosh Esimei Hagbala, the 3 days of fencing off Har Sinai, took place, is a matter of great confusion. Now, as we go through the psukim, we go through the verses, there are two principles that you have to keep in mind in order for the psukim to make sense. Chazal, our sages, laid down two important principles that we have to know. The first is that when the Torah says in Perek Yotzeh, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 19, verse 1, B'chodesh HaShlishi, in the third month, L'seis B'nei Yisrael Me'aretz Mitzrayim, when the Jews left Egypt, Bayom Hazeh, on this day, Ba'u Midbar Sinai, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. What day? It doesn't say what day of the month. It just says it was the third month. We have no idea what date in the month it was. So Chazal, our sages, tell us that when it says Bayom Hazeh, on this day, Hazeh means the first day of the month. They derive that from a connection, Hazeh, Hazeh, Egzera Shava, from HaChodesh Hazeh, Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. They connected to the first day of Nisan, back in Parashas Bo. Be that as it may, B'chodesh HaShlishi, Bayom Hazeh, on this day, they came to Har Sinai, they came to Midbar Sinai, the wilderness of Sinai. Chazal understand that means the first day of Sinai, of Sivan. That is, gives us a starting point, it gives us a place to begin with, where we can now build from. That's one very important point without which we can't figure it out. The second important point, and this is really the thing that makes everything come together, is that Chazal tell us, the sages tell us, that every single time Moshe went up the mountain, every time he went up the mountain, it was first thing in the morning. Now we're going to find one exception to that. But generally speaking, there was every time he went up the mountain, it was first thing in the morning. That means that if you read one pasuk, one verse, and it says Moshe went up the mountain, and then you read the next pasuk, the next verse, and it says Moshe went up the mountain, well, that means it happened on the next day. Every time you read Moshe went up the mountain, every ascent of Moshe is on the next day in the morning. No matter what's going on, you always have to jump to the next day for Moshe to go up the mountain. So as we move along and we see Moshe going up the mountain, going up the mountain, going up the mountain, going up the mountain, then we know it's the next day, the next day, the next day. In going through this, this may sound a little irreverent, but I every time I read Moshe going up the mountain, I keep thinking to myself trudging up Stone Mountain and thinking to myself, he did it once, he did it twice, he did it three times, he did it four times, he did it five times at least in the first 6 or 7 days of Sivan, and I just get exhausted thinking about it. So on the first day they came to Midbar Sinai, to the wilderness of Sinai. Nothing else happens on the first day. How do we know nothing else happens on the first day? Because in Pasuk Beis, excuse me, Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, it says, Umosha Allah El Hoelokim. Moshe went up to God. Well, if Moshe went up, as we just pointed out, when it says Moshe went up, it always means the next morning. And therefore, Moshe went up in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, must be on the second day of Sivan. So the first day of Sivan, they arrived, and they unpacked, and they settled down, and they went to sleep. They got a good night's sleep prior to the preparation for getting the Torah. Nothing else happened. But the next day, that's Pasuk Gimel, verse 3 in Parshas Yisro, the next day, Moshe goes up the mountain, which means that's the second day of Sivan. Now what happens on the second day of Sivan? Moshe goes up the mountain, and Hashem gives him the preamble to the Aseret HaDibros, the preamble to the Ten Commandments. He tells him about, this is what you should say to Beis Yaakov, to the house of Yaakov, which means the women, and this is what you should tell to the men, to Bnei Israel. You saw what I did in Mitzrayim, and I carried you in wings of eagles, and I brought you to me, and now if you listen to me, and you keep my covenant, and you'll be a treasure for me from all the nations, for the entire world is mine, and you'll be a mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh, you'll be a kingdom of priests, and a sanctified nation, these are the words you should speak to the Jewish people. That preamble is told to Moshe to tell the Jewish people on the second day of Sivan. That entire paragraph, Moshe goes up the mountain, Hashem tells Moshe, this is what you should say to the Jewish people, and he gives them this preamble. Moshe comes down the mountain, and Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Vayavo Moshe comes, for some reason he does not address himself to the entire nation here. Instead he calls to the elders and he puts before them all the words that Hashem said, meaning this preamble that we just got, that if you accept my covenant, you're going to be a treasure to me and you'll be a kingdom of priests, etc. That is the preamble that he gives them, meaning Hashem is saying to them, listen, if you want, we'll go forward. If you want to accept the Torah, this is what it's going to mean. You're going to accept my covenant. We're going to move forward. You're going to be treasured to me. You're going to be a kingdom of priests. What do you think? What do you say? So here, again, we're still on the second day of Sivan. We have Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Vayanu chol ha'am yachta vayom. The entire nation together said. Now, it must be that after Moshe spoke to the elders, either the elders disseminated the message to all the Jewish people, or Moshe disseminated the message to all the Jewish people. But that message of, do you want to join in a covenant with me or not? Are you ready for this? So that was disseminated, and all the Jews answered together, Kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh. Everything Hashem said, we will do. Not na'aseh v'nishma. That's going to be later. They didn't say we will do and we will hear, which is the most important thing we've ever said as a nation. That hasn't happened yet. The Jews say we will do as Hashem says. So that's all on the second day of Sivan that happens. Great. Now look at the end of Pasuk Ches, verse 8. It says, "Vayashev Moshe divrei ha'amel Hashem." Moshe returned the words of the Jews to Hashem. Now, of course, there's no need for Moshe to tell Hashem what the Jews said. Hashem knows what we're saying all the time and thinking and doing and all that. But our sages derive from here that if you are sent to do a job, then it's derech eretz. It is the proper way to go back to the person who sent you to report. Even if you know that he knows what happened, it's still derech eretz. It's still proper etiquette to go back and tell the person who sent you what happened. So Moshe goes back up the mountain to tell Hashem that the Jews agreed. The Jews accepted. They said, whatever Hashem says, na'aseh, we will do. So they accepted. So he goes back to tell Hashem. Now if he went back, then what day of Sivan is it now? It's the third day. It must be it's the next day. Because if he's going back, he always went up the mountain first thing in the morning. So now in the middle of Pasuk Ches, middle of verse 8, we're now on the third day of Sivan. Moshe goes upstairs and tells Hashem what the Jews said. Okay. Pasuk Ches, verse 9. Hashem says to Moshe, "Behold, I will come to you in the thickness of a cloud in order that the people should listen as I'm speaking to you, and in you they will believe forever." Now, that seems to be nothing more than nothing more than foretelling the future. Hashem says to Moshe, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to come to you in the thickness of a cloud. The Jews will listen as I'm speaking to you, and they will believe in you forever. Why do the Jews have to believe in Moshe? Don't we believe in God? What do you mean to believe in you forever? Why do we have to believe in Moshe? What does it mean to believe in Moshe? Okay, so he's the connection to Hashem. The Torah is going to come to us through Moshe. If we don't believe in Moshe, then we don't believe the Torah, because the Torah is only through Moshe. That is one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, one of the 13 principles that we all have to believe, is that Moshe is the greatest of all prophets, and therefore we must believe in Moshe. So Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to speak to you in the thickness of a cloud. The Jews will listen as I am speaking to you, and they will believe in you forever. What that means is that Hashem is going to give the Torah to Moshe. We are all going to listen in. We're going to be like the fly on the wall, listening in as Hashem gives the Torah to Moshe, and we will believe in Moshe, because we will see that Moshe is Hashem's, his main man. He is his prophet, and therefore we will believe in everything that Hashem tells Moshe. And that will be our believing in the Torah. This Hashem tells Moshe on the third day of Sivan. Is there any instruction over here to tell the Jews anything? He doesn't tell him to tell the Jews anything. He just says, this is what's going to happen. I'm telling you what now, here's what's going to be. Now that the Jews have accepted that they want to get the Torah, they said, whatever Hashem says, we'll do. So we're ready to go forward with Matan Torah. We're ready to get the Torah. Here's what's going to happen. He tells Moshe. Now, in the middle of Pasuk Tes, we have a very strange thing. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, it says at the end of that Pasuk, Vayagid Moshe Sivrei Ha'amel Hashem. Moshe told the words of the nation to Hashem. What words? The Gemara says, I don't understand. What did Hashem tell Moshe to tell the people? What did the people respond to Moshe? And what did Moshe then go respond to Hashem? There's nothing, there was no conversation over here. I understand on the second day of Sivan, Hashem told Moshe to ask the Jews, are you ready to go forward? And we responded, yes. Moshe on the third day goes upstairs and says to Hashem, the Jews said yes. Okay, great, that's a conversation. But now Hashem says to Moshe, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to come to you in the thickness of a cloud, they will listen as I'm speaking to you, and they'll believe in you forever. Okay. And then Moshe tells Hashem what the Jews said. What is that? So the Gemara tells us, and Chazal say this, and Rashi says it over here. There is something going on over here. If it says that Moshe told the words of the people to Hashem, there must have been something that he got from the people. He must have, in the interim, gone downstairs, spoken with the people, got something from the people, and went back upstairs to report to Hashem. Right in the middle of Pasuk Tes, verse 9, there is another descent and ascent of the mountain. Well, if there's another ascent, then what day is that? We must have moved to the fourth day of Sivan. We were in the third day of Sivan, and then suddenly in the middle of Pasuk Tes, verse 9, we've jumped to the fourth day of Sivan. And now we're in the fourth day of Sivan. Okay, fine, we can accept that. But what was the conversation? So Rashi explains the conversation was, in contrast to yesterday's pronouncement of the Jewish people, we will do whatever Hashem says. This time, the Jews don't agree. They say to Moshe, we're not interested in that plan. The plan that Hashem is going to appear to you in the thickness of a cloud, and He's going to speak to you while we listen in on the side, we're not interested. We want to see our God. We want to have direct communication with Hashem. We're not interested in being that fly on a wall. They reject the plan. That's why they don't say Naaseh. They don't say we will do on day 3. On day 2 they said we'll do whatever Hashem says, because they agreed to what Hashem told Moshe. But on day 3 they don't agree. They want a greater connection with Hashem. They're not interested in this being there on the side and listening in while Hashem speaks to Moshe. So Hashem tells Moshe, excuse me, Moshe tells Hashem, the Jews, they're not interested in that. They want more. They want to be able to have direct communication with you. Now we continue. Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. So Hashem says to Moshe, Leich el ha'am b'kidashtam hayom u'machar. Go to the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow. V'chiv susim l'osam, let them wash their clothing, which means put the clothing in the mikvah. They should be tahar, they should be pure. V'hayu nechonim b'yom ha'shlishi, they should be prepared on the third day. Ki b'yom ha'shlishi, yeireh Hashem l'inei kol ha'am al har Sinai. The Hashem will come down on in front of all the people on Har Sinai. Meaning that, okay, Hashem says, if you want direct communication with me, then forget the first plan. We won't do the first plan. The first plan was, I'll speak to Moshe, and you'll all listen in, and you'll see that Moshe's my man. Okay, we won't do that. I'm going to talk to you directly, the way you want it. You ask for more, I'm going to give you more. But you know what? In order to get more, there's going to be a greater level of sanctity that's required. Until now, there had been no requirement for spouses to separate. There had been no requirement for that level of purity. But now that you want a direct communication, all of you, as we mentioned last week in our impromptu shir when Rabbi Shapiro was supposed to speak here, all of you are going to have to be like Moshe. You're all going to have to separate from your spouses. So now we're going to have a new paradigm in how the Torah is given. On the fourth day of Sivan, Hashem changes the plan. On the third day, He had said, it's going to be Him talking to Moshe while we listen in. Now it's going to be Him talking to us directly. But in order for that to happen, we first need to sanctify ourselves today. What's today? The fourth day of Sivan. And tomorrow, which is the fifth day of Sivan. So the fourth day of Sivan and the fifth day of Sivan, you need to separate from your wives. And then on the sixth day of Sivan, the third day, which is the third day from the fourth day, 3 days later, so fourth, fifth, sixth, on the sixth day of Sivan, then I'm going to come down on Har Sinai, and then we will have the Torah. I will speak to all of you together. So again, just to make it clear, let's go through what we have so far. On the first day of Sivan, we get to Har Sinai, we rest. Second day of Sivan, Moshe goes upstairs, Hashem gives him the preamble, Moshe goes downstairs, the Jews say, whatever Hashem says, we'll do. On the third day of Sivan, Moshe goes upstairs, he says, the Jews said, whatever Hashem says, we'll do. Hashem says, okay, fine, then tell them, or don't tell them, but this is what's going to happen, that I'm going to come to you, they're going to listen in, and they'll believe in you forever. Moshe goes downstairs on the third day of Sivan, he tells the Jews say, we want more, we want direct communication. Moshe goes upstairs on the fourth day of Sivan, and Hashem says, great, that's wonderful that you want more. Now everybody separate for 2 days, today and tomorrow, Hayom Mochar, today and tomorrow. And then on the third day, on the sixth day, that is when I'm going to appear on Har Sinai in front of everybody and give the Torah. So far, so good. Okay, I can't see very well. If you have a hand up, I think it's a hand up, yes? No? No. Okay, if somebody has a question, let's pause here for any questions at this point. We haven't gotten to fencing off the mountain. We haven't gotten to what happens in Parashat Mishpatim. But any questions until here? Yeah.
So it's the fourth day that Moshe didn't go up in the morning because he spoke to the people first and then went up?
Mm-mm.
Is that the exception?
No, he spoke to the people on the third day when he came down. And then on the fourth day he went upstairs again, right, bright and early in the morning. Yeah.
Because we're always assuming that he goes only in the morning.
Right, only first thing in the morning. He wakes up, he washes Negelvasser, he says Moda Ani, and he goes upstairs.
It's not clear that separating is the only condition that was added.
So far, the only condition that was added was separating from their wives.
So we don't yet have a condition for wash or purifying.
No, they wash their clothing. That's purifying. That we have.
That's before.
Yeah, that was included over here.
Okay.
And separating from the wives. We don't have fencing off the mountain yet. That's the next plus. We'll get to that in a moment. Other questions? Yeah.
If we had a dream in the first day, for the first coming, would it have happened on the fourth or fifth day?
Okay, that's an excellent question, and I don't know the answer. Noach is asking, let's say we would have agreed to the original plan. We would not have asked to have direct communication from Hashem. Would the Torah have been given on the fourth or on the fifth day of Sivan? Maybe. It doesn't say anywhere the Torah had to be given on the sixth or seventh day of Sivan. That's what ended up happening. Would it have happened that way had we agreed to the first plan? Possibly. It seems that the reason for the sixth day of Sivan so far is because we needed to separate from our wives. So I don't know what would have happened. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. I don't know. But it is possible that it would not have happened on the sixth day of Sivan. Possibly. That'll make the one of the explanations Rashi says on in the Bayom Hashi Vayer Yom Hashishi. It was evening was morning the sixth day. Hashishi, the sixth day. One of the explanations is the sixth day of Sivan. So that's a good point. But I don't know. I don't know what would have happened. Any other questions? Okay. So now the next pasuk we have, next verse we have fencing off the mountain. Pasuk Yedbeis verse 12. V'higbalta es ha'am saviv leimar, you shall fence off the nation around, meaning around the mountain, saying, as Rashi says, the fence, it was a physical fence that they built, and the fence will announce, meaning that when you see the fence, you'll realize, he shamu lachem, be careful, alos bahar, going up the mountain, unegoa bekatseo, and touching its edge, kolanogea bahar, most you must, anybody who touches the nation will most certainly die. Lo sigabo yad, no hand shall touch it, ki sakoli sakel, for there will be stoning, o yoro yare, or being pushed off of a building, because the way stoning works is that first a person who is to be stoned, this is a digression, but just, it's learned from here, the halachos of how to do skila, how to administer capital punishment of stoning is learned from here. This is where it's derived from. And the way, even though it's, the order is stoning and then pushing off of a height, as I understand, it's the reverse. And what happens is the person who is to be stoned is taken out to a two-story building and is pushed off the two-story building and lands on a hard surface, and that is meant to kill him. If it does not kill him, then one large stone is taken and thrown down on top of him, not from the building, from standing next to him. The two witnesses stand right over him with the stone and throw it down on top of him to kill him in that manner, if the fall off the building does not kill him. That is derived from here. This is where it's derived from. So it is stoning or being pushed off, which means pushed off of a height. That is the way stoning is administered. So if a person touches the mountain, it's not that they're going to die instantaneously. It is an aveira, it is a sin that is punishable with skila, with stoning. And this is what would happen if a person would touch or go up the mountain. In behema yinish, whether it is an animal or a person, lo yichyeh, he shall not live. In shel chayovel, when the shofar is blown for a long period of time, then hema ya'alu bahar, then they may go up the mountain. So until you hear that long blast of the shofar, you may not touch or ascend the mountain. It appears that all of this is being told to the Jewish people again on the fourth day, because that's where we are right now. And they're being told, in addition to separating from their wives, they also must fence off the mountain. Now you realize that if this is true, that it's on the fourth day that this commandment is given about fencing off the mountain, then today, meaning today, Sunday, in Atlanta today, is not the first day of Shlosh Yisrei Hagbalah, of the 3 days of fencing off the mountain. Because today is not the fourth day of Sivan. Today is the third day of Sivan. Rosh Chodesh was Friday. Today is the third day of Sivan. So if we are to understand the psukim, the verses, literally as they are written, then really the 3 days of fencing off the mountain of Hagbalah starts tomorrow, not today. Now, we all know that today is the first day of Shlosh Yisrei Hagbalah. It's the first day of fencing off the mountain. So how could that be? So here, this is something which we would not get from the Torah Shebiksav, from the written Torah. Here we absolutely need Torah Shebaal Peh, we need the oral Torah. And in the Gemara, everybody agrees, this is undisputed, that through the nuances of the way it's presented, which is a little bit too involved for us to go into right now, but through the nuances of the presentation of the Torah, Chazal understand that this commandment of fencing off the mountain did not happen where it is written. Chronologically, it did not happen here on the fourth day of Sivan. When did it happen? It actually happened on the third day of Sivan, the previous day. On the same day when Hashem told Moshe the original plan, which was that I will speak to you and the Jews will listen in, He also told Moshe, fence off the mountain, and anybody who touches it will be stoned. All of that was on the third day. Moshe came downstairs on the third day. The Jews rejected the plan. Hashem went back, Moshe went back upstairs, and Hashem said to him, okay, I like it. On the fourth day, I like it that the Jews want to see me, they want more direct contact, have them separate from their wives. In other words, what Chazal, our sages, are telling us is that the separating from each other, from spouses, from wives, that was contingent on the change of plan. In the original plan, that wasn't necessary. Now it's necessary. But the fencing of the mountain, that was true even in the original plan. That was not a new thing that now comes into play because of the new plan. Of course, it begs the question, if that's so, why is it written on the fourth day? If it actually was commanded on the third day, why does the Torah confuse us and write it in a way that it certainly appears that it was commanded on the fourth day? Which is a very good question, which we will, Blinetter, come back to. So, bear that in mind. But, in terms of filling out your chart, when was the commandment of fencing off the mountain? That was actually on the third day of Sivan, which is today, Sunday, in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is the first day of the Shlosh Yisrei Hagbala, which means, this is where it gets a little bit confusing, the 3 days of fencing off the mountain and the 3 days of separating from spouses are different 3 days. It's not the same 3 days. The 3 days of fencing off the mountain were the third day of Sivan, the fourth day of Sivan, and the fifth day of Sivan. 3 days preceding the sixth day of Sivan, which is the day of giving of the Torah, according to at least the Chacham and the sages. It's the third, fourth, and fifth of Sivan. Whereas, separating from spouses was the fourth day of Sivan, the fifth day of Sivan, and then on the sixth day of Sivan, the Torah was given, according to one opinion, the other opinion, the seventh day of Sivan. It happened on different days. The fencing off the mountain was on the third day of Sivan, and the separating from spouses was on the fourth day of Sivan. The fencing off the mountain had nothing to do with changing plans. That was always the plan, that they have to fence off the mountain. Whereas separating from spouses was a result of us Jews not accepting the original plan of listening in, and rather we wanted direct communication, and therefore we had to separate from spouses. That's what we see from over here, the way Chazal, the way our sages interpret the psukim. And that gets us through the first 13 verses. And just to read the 14th verse, Pasuk Gedalad, Vayered Moshe min Hahar el Ha'am. Moshe came down the mountain to the people. This is still on the fourth day. Vayekadesh es Ha'am, and he sanctified the nation. Vayechavsusim Mosam, and they washed their clothing. They sanctified themselves, which means they separated from their wives, and they put their clothing in the mikvah. And then he said to them, Vayomer Elam, he said to the nation, Heyu nechonim lishlosh es yomim, be prepared for 3 days. Al tigshu el isha, don't go near your wives, don't go near a woman. This is where the debate comes from between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. When Moshe said, don't go near a woman, don't go near your wife for 3 days, did Moshe tack on an extra day? According to the Chachamim, for 3 days means the fourth day of Sivan, the fifth day of Sivan, and the sixth day of Sivan, which is the day the Torah was given. While Rabbi Yossi says, no, Moshe tacked on another day. The fourth day of Sivan, the fifth day of Sivan, and the sixth day of Sivan separate, and then on the seventh day of Sivan, that's when the Torah will be given. That is a debate in the Gemara, whether Moshe tacked on another day. The one who says that he did tack on another day, Hashem then was maskim al yado, Hashem agreed to what Moshe did, saying that's a good thing that you did it. So whether he did or didn't, that is a whole different discussion, and what it hinges on will be my talk on the second day of Shavuos, right over here at 7:15 in the afternoon, about why, what is the discussion about tacking on another day. It has to do with the laws of Tumah and Tara. It's rather intricate, and Mirza Hashem will talk about it on the second day of Shavuos. So that's what we have until now. Let me pause here for questions, and then we're going to jump to Parashat Mishpatim. Any questions? Wave your hand if you have it. Yeah, go ahead. That is theoretically possible. It's theoretically possible. Right. But that is, their opinions of the Gemara don't say that. They say that if he tacked on a day, it was the day that Har Sinai would, that means the Torah would be given a day later. But yeah, it's an interesting point. Yeah.
It seems like the purpose of separating from wives is for the people to have a state of purity similar to that of Moshe, to stay away from his wife.
Yeah, no, that's true. But it could theoretically be that you got to maintain that for a day after the giving of the Torah too, right? I mean, in theory, we could say that, but... Yeah. Yes?
If there's such machlokas, how come in Israel they don't keep 2 days of Shavuot?
Okay, good, good. The question is, if there's such an argument about whether the Torah was given on the 6th or 7th day of Sivan, how come in Israel they only keep 1 day of Shavuot? Certainly we all keep 2 days of Shavuot. Now, I'm going to answer you, but I do not want to get sidetracked into this discussion. The answer is because the holiday of Shavuos is dependent on it being 50 days after the second day of Pesach. It's irrelevant what date the Torah was given on. The holiday of Shavuos today happens to be on the 6th day of Sivan because Iyar has 2 days Rosh Chodesh and Sivan has 1 day Rosh Chodesh, so 50 days after the second day of Pesach turns out to be the 6th day of Sivan. If it would be different, then it won't be the 6th day of Sivan, it would be the 7th day of Sivan or the 5th day of Sivan. That would also be okay. As long as it's 50 days after the second day of Pesach, that's the holiday of Shavuos, even if it's not the same date that the Torah was given. That's the answer. That obviously opens up a whole can of worms, which is not for now. Okay, next. Anybody else? Okay. Now we move to Parshas Mishpatim. Perek of Dalet, chapter 24. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1 in chapter 24. Ve'o Moshe Amar, and to Moshe he had said. Just grammatically, Rabbi Hiller will like this, but grammatically you should know that the difference between Vayomer El Moshe, which means, and he said to Moshe, and Ve'el Moshe Amar, which means, and he said to Moshe. The difference is that Vayomer El Moshe means, and he said to Moshe. Ve'el Moshe Amar means, and he had said to Moshe previously. Whenever you see the phrase in this manner, it means it happened earlier, not right now. It's not in chronological order. That's how we know that this paragraph, this chapter, is actually a throwback to some earlier point in time. It's not in chronological order. And as Rashi will tell us, when did this happen? This paragraph here, in chapter 24, in Parakhav Dalet, when does it happen? Rashi tells us, Parsha zu nemra kodem aseres hadibros. This paragraph was said prior to the Ten Commandments, even though the Ten Commandments are written in Parshas Yisro. This paragraph happened before the Ten Commandments. Bidalid b'sivan nemar lo alei. On the 4th of Sivan, that's when Hashem said this to Moshe. So this goes back to the 4th of Sivan. So on the 4th of Sivan, and Hashem says to Moshe, Alei el Hashem, come up to Hashem. Atov Aaron Nadav v'Avihu v'shivim mizikne Yisrael. You and Aaron and Nadav and Avihu and the 70 elders. V'ishtachavisem me'rachok, and you shall bow from afar. V'nigash Moshe levado el Hashem, and Moshe alone will approach Hashem. V'heim lo yigashu, and they, meaning the other Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, the 70s, the king, the 70 elders, will not approach Hashem. V'ha'am, and the nation, meaning the rest of the nation, lo ya'alu imo, will not go up with him. This is not telling Moshe that on the 4th day you should do this. He's already upstairs on the 4th day. Remember, he went upstairs on the 4th day. He went upstairs on the 4th day and told Hashem that that the Jews do not want to do the plan you said on the 3rd day. And Hashem said, okay, go down and tell them to separate. In addition to telling him that, he gave him further instructions. This is on the 4th day. And he told him, when the Torah is given, this is what's going to happen. What's going to happen is, you're going to come up, and along with you are going to come Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, and the 70 elders. Which means, you, 70, 1, 2, 3, 4 people, you 74 people are going to be allowed to cross the line and go past the fence. Only you 74 people. You, Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, and the 70 elders. All of you will cross that line, cross the fence, and ascend the mountain. They're going to come with you. But only you are actually going to approach Hashem. And as Rashi says later on, they each had their own line of demarcation as far as they could go. The elders were only able to go so far. Nadav and Avihu were able to go a little further than the elders. Aaron was able to go a little further than Nadav and Avihu. And Moshe went all the way. So they each had their line of demarcation as far as they were able to go up the mountain. They were all able to pass the fence, but they weren't able to pass the line that was designated for them. Each of these 74 people. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who went all the way to Hashem. So he says that's what's going to happen when the Torah is given. He's not telling him do this now on the fourth day. He's telling him when the Torah is given, this is what's going to happen. Now, Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Vayavo Moshe, Moshe comes, Vayisaper Lam, Eis Kol Divrei Hashem, Eis Kol Mishpatim. He told the nation all the words of Hashem and all the laws. So, what laws? He told them the new paradigm. This is on the fourth day of Sivan. He comes downstairs, tells the Jewish people that it's a new paradigm. Hashem is going to speak to you directly, like you want. But, in order to do that, we're going to have to separate from wives for 3 days, we're going to have to put our clothing in the mikvah, etc. And Vayan Kol Ha'am Kol Echad Vayomru, the nation in one voice answered and said, Kol Advar Masha Diber Hashem Na'aseh. Everything Hashem says, we will do. So here on the fourth day of Sivan, the Jews say essentially the same thing they said on the second day of Sivan, which is, we accept the new paradigm. So again, on the second day of Sivan, they accepted what Hashem said. On the third day of Sivan, they rejected what Hashem said. It's not a negative thing. They rejected because they wanted more. They wanted to be closer to Hashem. And now on the fourth day of Sivan, they accept what Hashem said. But they haven't yet said Na'aseh V'Nishma. They haven't said we will do and we will hear. They just said we'll do. We accept this new paradigm and we will separate from our wives. We accept it. We're ready to do that. Pasuk Daled, verse 4, Moshe writes down all of the words of Hashem. Rashi explains he wrote down the entire Torah from Bereishis until this point. He writes that all down. Now, in the middle of Pasuk Daled, middle of verse 4, Vayashkem Baboker. He woke up early in the morning. What day is that? Fifth day of Sivan. The fifth day of Sivan is not discussed at all in Parashas Yisro. The fifth day of Sivan is discussed here in Parashas Mishpatim. This is the famous or mysterious fifth day of Sivan. What happened on the fifth day of Sivan? First of all, let's discuss what didn't happen. Did Moshe go up the mountain on the fifth day of Sivan? No. How do you know that? Because it says, Vayashkem Baboker, he got up early in the morning. If he went up the mountain, the Torah doesn't have to tell us he got up early in the morning. Because every time he went up the mountain, he did it first thing in the morning. So if the Torah says he got up early in the morning and did something else, he clearly didn't go up the mountain. The fifth day is the only day, besides the first day when they first got there, that he did not go up the mountain. Now if you say that the Torah wasn't given until the seventh day of Sivan, then the sixth day he also didn't go up the mountain. But let's assume right now the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan. On the fifth day, it's the one time he didn't go up the mountain. He stayed downstairs and he administered to the people. What did he do? First of all, he built an altar. Second of all, he made 12 different matzevos, again, altars, minor altars, for the 12 tribes. And he sent the lands of Bnei Yisrael, and they brought different karbanos. These are the bechoros, the firstborn, who are acting here as the kohanim, as they should, because this is prior to the Egel Hazav, prior to the golden calf. The firstborn here are acting as the kohanim. And he took half the blood, and he put it in one container, and the other blood he threw onto the mizbeach, onto the altar. And he ended up sprinkling the blood on the people, and he read from the Torah to the people. And here on the fifth day of Sivan, I'm in Pasuk now, Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zion, verse seven. I'll read it in its entirety. By Kach Sefer Habris, he took this Sefer, this book of the covenant, which is the Sefer Torah that he had written from Bereishis until this point. And he read it into the ears of the nation, and they said, "Kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma." Everything Hashem says, we will do, and we will hear. On the fifth day of Sivan, now the Jews say this incredible statement of na'aseh v'nishma, which Hashem says, "Migila labanai razeh," who revealed to my children this incredible secret. That only the angels use. This was an incredible thing that the Jews were willing to say, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do, even if we don't understand, we will do, and then we will try to understand it. But our performance of the Torah is not contingent on our understanding of the Torah. We perform the Torah because Hashem said so. That's why we do it. And then we attempt to understand it. Na'aseh v'nishma. That's on the fifth day. On the second day, we accepted what Hashem said on the second day. On the fourth day, we accepted what Hashem said on the fourth day. On the fifth day, we accept everything. Na'aseh v'nishma. We'll do whatever it is, even if we don't understand it. It no longer is contingent on our processing. Where on the second day, we processed, we accepted. On the third day we processed, we rejected. On the fourth day we processed, we accepted. On the fifth day we say, no more processing. We accept everything. It doesn't matter whether we get it or don't get it, whether we like it or don't like it, whether it makes sense to us or not, we do it. Then we'll try to make sense out of it. Na'aseh v'nishma. That's on the fifth day of Sivan. He takes the blood, he sprinkles it on the Jewish people, and he says, this is the Dam HaBris, this is the blood of the covenant, etc. Then, Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Vaya'al Moshe v'Aaron. Moshe and Aaron went upstairs. Well, what day of Sivan are we now in?
Sixth
day of Sivan. And according to one opinion, the seventh day of Sivan. Since we're going up the mountain again, it must be that this is now the next day, the sixth day of Sivan. Moshe goes up with Aaron, with Nadav, with Avihu, with the 70 elders. As we said before, they didn't all go to the same distance. They had their own lines that they could go up until and not cross. And the rest of this is a little bit difficult to understand, but it is the Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. So now we have a much broader picture. I want to take us back to Parashat Yisroel and make one more point before we tie it together and we will close with that. Go back to Parashat Yisroel, please. Again, back to Parashat Test, chapter 19. And I'm going to read from a part which was not in the in the assigned source material because it would have been too much to see. But I want to point something out to you. On the sixth day of Sivan, or the seventh, whichever one it is, the Jews now come out to Har Sinai and Hashem has descended on the mountain and it's all kinds of fire and lightning and thunder and whatever. It's wild. And it's a tremendously frightening scene. And the Jews are out there at the foot of the mountain. Moshe leads them out. So they're there. Moshe goes up the mountain. Now again, we know from Parashas Mishpatim, he didn't go up by himself. He went up with another 73 people. The 70 elders, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, and they're moving up the mountain. Moshe gets all the way up the mountain. And then if you look at Pasuk Chafal, verse 21, we're in chapter 19, Parakit Tes, Pasuk Chafal, verse 21. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, raid, go back down. He just came up. Go and think of Stone Mountain. He just came up. Go back down. Ha'ed Ba'am warned the people. Warned the people what? Warned the people not to cross the line. Pen yehersu el Hashem liros, lest they break through to go see Hashem, v'nafal mimenu rav, and many will fall. Meaning, people will die. They're going to cross the line. I'm afraid, Hashem says, that the fence won't be enough, and the Jews will push their way past that police line, that tape, and they're going to go, and they're going to want to see what's going on. And they're going to cross the line. So go back down and tell them not to cross the line. The Gama Kohanim, even the Kohanim, meaning the firstborn, Hanigashim al Hashem, the ones who get close to Hashem, Yiskadosh, they also need to sanctify themselves and not to cross the line. Penifos b'ayim Hashem, lest Hashem punish them. They should not cross the line. So he says, don't cross the line. Now, okay, you got to picture it right now. Moshe is upstairs. He just trudged up the mountain to get the Torah, to get the Aseret HaDibros. The Ten Commandments are about to be given. So the scene is set, right? The lights are dimmed. It's all ready to go. And Hashem says, Moshe, go back downstairs and warn the people, don't cross the line. Then come upstairs and we'll do the Torah, that Torah thing. You know, like, but first go downstairs. So Moshe says to Hashem, Vayomer Moshe al Hashem, lo yuchal ha'am la'alos al Har Sinai. The nation can't come up to Har Sinai. You already warned us. Hagbel Sahar, fence off the mountain. The Kidash don't sanctify it. So they're not going anywhere. There's a fence. We put up barbed wire and electricity. They're not going anywhere. They're not crossing. Hashem said to him, let's raid, go down. And then you'll call up with Aaron. And the Kohanim and the people should not break through to come to up to Hashem. Pen Yifrat's bum, lest he, Hashem, should hurt them. Moshe did go down, and he told them. So on the sixth or seventh day of Sivan, Moshe goes up. He's ready for the Aseret HaDibros. Hashem says, go down and warn the people. Moshe says, oh, they know already. Go down and warn the people. He goes down, he warns the people, and then he comes up again. So on the sixth or seventh day of Sivan, Moshe actually goes up twice. This is the only exception where he goes up not bright and early in the morning. He did go up bright and early in the morning, but Hashem told him, 1 minute, you got to go back down, warn them, and then come back up. Why does he have to go down and warn them? Isn't he right? There's a fence. So here, Rashi tells us, in the name of Chazal, the name of our sages, Shemizarzin es ha'adam kodem maisa, because you warn a person before the event, v'chozrin u'mizarzin oso b'shas maisa, and you go back and warn him again when it's time for the event. You know, you have children, and you tell a child, whether it's a child or your student or whatever it is, and you tell them that tomorrow, when we are going to be in shul, you need to sit quietly and not make noise. You're walking to shul, and you say, when we're sitting in shul, you need to sit quietly and not talk and not make noise. When you get to shul, and you sit down with your child, and your child starts making noise, don't blame the child, because you didn't warn the child again at the time. The Torah says it doesn't help to only warn beforehand. The way it works is, you warn beforehand, and then you warn at the time also. Both. If you don't do both, then your warning is deficient. We warn beforehand. When we get to shul, you need to sit quietly. We get to shul, we sit down, we turn to our child and say, okay, now we're in shul, now it's time to sit quietly. It's got to be both. And that's to adults. That's to adults. Hashem tells Moshe, I know you put up a fence. You put up a fence 3 days. For 3 days, the Jews have seen this fence around Har Sinai. For 3 days, they've noticed it. It's there. They can't go on the mountain. But now it's time for the Aseret HaDibros. So now it's time for the Torah, for the Ten Commandments. Hashem says to Moshe, go back down and warn them again. So, yes.
Did the other 73 people also go up twice? And
I don't know. That's a good question. It says, "Valisa Atava Aaron Imach." You'll come up with Aaron. So it's not clear to me whether they all went up twice, or they went up only the first time, or they went up only the second time. I don't know. It's not clear to me how that happened. Whether they also went down and came back with him. I think it would look a little funny for Moshe to come down and they're going to stay where they are. It would probably be a little bit disrespectful. They may have been accompanying Moshe down and back up. I don't know. So we have one loose end to tie up, and then we'll have a complete picture. So I'm gonna run through the whole thing again, just top to bottom, and we'll tie up that loose end. So first day they get to Har Sinai, they rest. Second day, Moshe goes upstairs. Hashem gives them the preamble. You want to accept the Torah? We'll have a covenant. You'll be my special nation, etc. Moshe comes downstairs, the Jews say, whatever Hashem says, we'll do. We agree. We process it, we agree. Third day, Moshe goes upstairs, tells Hashem, the Jews agree. Hashem says to Moshe, okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to appear to you, they'll listen in. And, even though it doesn't say it on the third day, we know, in addition, he tells Moshe, fence off the mountain. Surround it with a fence, the Jews can't go up the mountain. A penalty of death. Moshe comes downstairs, he tells the people. The people say, we're not interested in that. We want direct communication with Hashem. So we don't accept that. Fourth day, Moshe goes upstairs. Hashem says, and he says to Moshe, Hashem, they don't want it. Hashem says, fine, good, I like that. They want better, closer connection with me. Good, we're changing the plan. Now I'm going to appear to everybody. But in order to do that, we need to have everybody separate from their wives and purify themselves and their clothing for 3 days. Moshe goes downstairs. Tells the people, on the fourth day, you got to separate. They say, whatever Hashem says, we'll do. We accept it. We process it. We accept it. Fine. Fourth day, they separate. Fifth day, they're still separated. Moshe gets up early in the morning, and we have the altar, and we have the writing of the Torah, and we have the blood, and we have the Jews saying, Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma, whatever Hashem says, we're willing to do, even though we haven't heard it yet, we'll hear it later. It's fine. We accept it without processing. Whatever Hashem says, we do. Okay. Sixth day of Sivan, Moshe goes upstairs, the Jews are sanctified. The Jews have separated from their wives. The Jews have said, Na'aseh V'Nishma. The Jews have seen this fence go up 3 days ago. And Hashem says to Moshe, go back down and warn them again. You got to warn them again. He goes down, he warns them again, comes up, and now we have the Aseret HaDibros. We heard the first two of the Aseret HaDibros. We couldn't take it anymore. We said to Moshe, Daber atayimanu v'nishma, you speak to us and we'll listen. After the first two of the Aseres HaDibros, we lost our nerve. We couldn't handle it anymore. And we said to Moshe, you go and get the rest of the Torah. We'll get it from you. In other words, after the first two of the Aseres HaDibros, we went back to the original plan. We were able to maintain ourselves with this new plan of direct communication from Hashem for two of the Aseres HaDibros, for two of the ten. After that, we said we can't handle it. It's too much. Can't handle it. And then we went back to the other plan, which is that Moshe himself went up and got the rest of it for us. So then, why is it that if the mountain was fenced off on the third day of Sivan, which is today, on the third day of Sivan, why is it that the Torah writes it on the fourth day of Sivan? Why is it misleading in the Torah? And I believe the answer is, and this is something which is so important for us to understand, I believe the answer is because had the Torah written it on the third day of Sivan, we may have made a mistake and thought that the fencing off of the mountain was only required in the original plan. In the original plan, when it was going to be that Hashem would speak to Moshe and we would listen in, then there's a clear segregation. There's Moshe and there's everybody else. Moshe's on the mountain, we're not on the mountain. Moshe's past the fence, we're on the other side of the fence. It's two sides and we're not there. We're just a fly on the wall listening into the giving of the Torah. But once the situation changed, we asked for direct communication. And Hashem said, fine, great, you're going to be like Moshe for a few days. Separate from your wives. Purify yourselves. Now, who needs a fence? Now, we're like Moshe. We're all Moshe. So we can all go up the mountain. There's no need for a fence anymore. Anybody who wants to go, go. The Torah writes it on the fourth day to emphasize that that has not changed. There still is a fence around the mountain. It doesn't get torn down just because the paradigm has changed. Yes, we have separated from our wives. Yes, we are more like Moshe, but we're not Moshe. There is still Moshe and the rest of the people. There still is a fence, and we are on the other side of the fence. We're not Moshe. Even though for the first two of the Aseres HaDibros, we actually got a nevuah, we got a prophecy like Moshe's prophecy. That special prophecy, which is Va'as Baklari HaMi'iro, which is through the clear glass that only Moshe gets. Lo kam b'no b'Yisrael k'Moshe. There can't be any more prophets like Moshe. But for those first two of the Aseres HaDibros, we were all like Moshe. That's why Chazal sages tell us, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. We got Torah from Moshe. What is the gematria? What's the numerical value of Torah? 611. But there are 613 mitzvahs. That's because the first two of the Aseres HaDibros, we didn't get from Moshe. We got it directly. We didn't need Moshe for those two. For those two, we were all like Moshe. We got direct communication from Hashem, something which is impossible to have before or since. Nevertheless, there is still a fence around the mountain. The Shloshes Yemei Hagbala, the 3 days of fencing off the mountain, does not change, even though we have direct communication from Hashem. This is where Korach makes a mistake. Korach says, in the beginning of Parshas Korach, Ki chol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. The entire nation are all sanctified. Uvesocham Hashem, and inside of them is Hashem. V'lomatis nasu alkam Hashem. Why should you rule over the Jewish people? We're all sanctified. And as Rashi says over there in Parshas Yisro, what does he mean, we are all sanctified? What is Korach referring to? So as Rashi tells us, kulam shamu dvarim besinai mipi hagvura. Everybody heard words at Har Sinai from Hashem. Not just you. We all heard words from Hashem. Korach was tearing down the fence. Korach was saying that once we all heard from Hashem, you're no better than we are. We're all the same. Why do you get to be in charge? Korach's mistake was forgetting about the fence. Even though we all heard directly from Hashem those first two dibros, the fence stays up. there still is a clear demarcation between Moshe and the people. We are still on the other side of the fence. We always must remember that Moshe's nevuah is still paramount. No one can rival Moshe. He is it. He is, as the Rosh Yeshiva of Weinberg Zalman Rachel used to put it, the trumpet of Hashem. And we get it all from Moshe. That does not change. Today, the first day of the Shloshes Yemei Hagbalah, of the putting up of the fence at Har Sinai, this is what is happening today. This morning, when we got the information, I don't know exactly what time in the day we got it, because Moshe went up early in the morning on the third day of Sivan and came down and told the people, put up a fence. Today, we all rolled up our sleeves, we got out our hammers and nails and saws, and we put up a fence around Har Sinai. That's what happened today. That fence indicates that as much as we, Baruch Hashem, have an incredible closeness to Hashem, there still is a boundary. There are always going to be boundaries. The Torah requires boundaries. The entire Torah is all about different types of boundaries. And the giving of the Torah was no exception. There was a firm boundary that we Jews could not cross. It is the most difficult thing for us Jews to accept, particularly modern man. In Western culture, to accept the fact that there are boundaries that cannot be crossed, that no matter how much you want something, it doesn't matter. There are boundaries and they cannot be crossed. I saw a few hands up. Some questions? Yeah.
When the paradigm changed, that they would think that there would be no fence, but right before my son Moshe came down and warned them again, so...
Clearly there was a fence, because he warned them again. Yes, but I'm saying the Torah is emphasizing this point, that it doesn't change, that's all. I'm not saying we wouldn't have known it. I'm saying that the Torah is emphasizing, don't think that the fence is a different issue. It's there no matter what. Even though it says it together with the new paradigm. Yeah. Yeah.
And you read it. So what? Matan Torah hasn't happened.
Yeah, up until that point. Not including.
That's it. Matan Torah.
Yeah, up to not including. Ad below Ad Bechal. Up to not including.
Okay, so when they're saying not to this and Ishma, they're saying that.
Whatever it is, they don't have to know. That's the point. Nasav and Ishma, the whole point of Nasav and Ishma is in contrast to what the other nations said. The other nations said, Ma Kasuvba, what does it say? Before we accept, we have to know what it says. Nasav and Ishma is we don't have to know. We accept whatever it is. We don't need to know. That's Nasa and Ishma. As opposed to on day 2 and day 4, where it was just Nasa. We wanted to know, and we accepted what he said. On day 5, whatever it is. Anybody else? Yeah.
So are we commanded that to be with our wives in 3 days?
No. No. There is no such mitzvah today of prisha, of separating from spouses during the days before Har Sinai. That was a special thing because of the giving of the Torah. There is, according in Alpi Kabbalah, using Kabbalah, it is considered appropriate for husbands and wives not to be intimate on Shavuos. There is such an idea out there. It is not a prohibition by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a Kabbalistic idea that husbands and wives should not be intimate on Shavuos itself. But then not because of this. The 2 days of Shavuos, yes. Yes. Again, no, it's not a prohibition. It's an idea. It's a nice thing if a person is able to do it. It's a nice idea. Yeah.
Were the 73 people part of the original plan that they rejected? And so the original plan was just...
That's a good question. The question is, were the 73 people part of the original plan or not? I don't know the answer. I suspect not. I suspect not, but I don't know for sure. It could be they would have been there anyway. I don't know. You're asking, is that because we're all now... getting direct communication from Hashem, so these 73 people have their own levels that they go to. I don't know. That's a good question. Very good question. Yeah.
Is Yehoshua part of the Shivim Zekanim?
Yehoshua does not seem to be part of the Shivim Zekanim.
So why in Parshas Ki?
So in Parshas Ki Sisa, what Rashi explains over there is that after the Aseret HaDibros on the 6th of Sivan, then Hashem says to Moshe, you stay here with me, everybody else go back. So it seems that Moshe did come down the mountain first, because he told the people, Aaron and Hur are with you, and they'll handle whatever issues there are, and I'm going back upstairs to get the rest of the Torah. And then he went. Now the camp of the people was not right up against the mountain. The camp was a little bit away from the mountain. So this is after Aseret HaDibros. Moshe comes down, the people go back to the camp, And Moshe's there and he gives them instructions. Aaron and Hur are with you. I'm going up for 40 days. Yehoshua accompanies Moshe up until the fence, and that's when Yehoshua pitches his tent, when Moshe goes upstairs to wait for his Rebbe to come downstairs. No one else is with Yehoshua. Everybody else is in the camp. So when Moshe comes down, the first person he meets is Yehoshua, and Yehoshua doesn't even know what's going on with the golden calf because he's not there. And Moshe knows, Yehoshua doesn't know. Yehoshua is the last, this is an interesting thing, Yehoshua is the last person in Klal Yisrael to find out about the Egel Azav, about the golden calf. The people know because they're in the camp. Moshe knows because Hashem tells them. Yehoshua doesn't know until Moshe comes down. Interesting thing.
Rashi says in Parashas that the Tahanim did go up. Well, how does that fit with, in Parashas Yisrael, Rashi says the Tahanim went up. How does that fit with the...
Well, they went up their own, whatever the level is. It probably means... It probably means up until their point. They can't go past the point that they're allowed to go. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. Good point. Yeah.
Where is the room for today? After the 3 days of
the... That's why we have a shiur on the second day of shiur. It's a good question. Moshe, according to that opinion, Moshe added a day. He added another day. After the 5th of Sivan, he said, okay, wait, we're not ready on the 6th. It's got to be on the 7th.
And that's not coming from when Moshe tells him to go back down.
No, that's not. At some point, he says we're adding another day. Yeah, I'm sorry. Anybody else? Yeah? No? Yeah.
I was just trying to remember in Chabdala when he says the word of Hashem, spoken we will do. What did they
On the fourth day?
Yeah.
They're saying we will do this, we will do what Hashem said about severing from our wives and about all that. Okay, everybody should be zocha, should merit to a Kabbalah Sator to accept Torah on Shavuos.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.